Blog Talk Radio.
What happened? Popping pictures.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Hello. Praise God, everybody. We have the preacher and the miracle man.
Hello, everybody.
And we are now live on Upfront Entertainment for tonight's program. And we are going to start, as we always do, with a word of prayer.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this program, for the show. We thank you, Lord God, for our audience increasing. We give you praise and glory for that. We give you praise and glory for finances coming in for the equipment that we need so we can produce a great show. We'll believe in God for sponsors. And whoever these sponsors may be, drywall, dry cleaning, Cedar Point, whoever happens to be, God, I just thank you, Lord God, that we'll have great sponsors, have great companies that want to partner with us. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you just bless us, Lord God, and you bless the show.
Yes.
And help tonight's show, this single show, Lord God. You bless us, Lord God, and help us to say what you want said as we get into the Word and as we talk and speak. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And Lord, now, before I get into the Word to talk about faith, I want to say this. Well, you say, hey, Michael Man, where are you guys at? We are at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road, right between Haley Street and Patrick Road. We are straight across the road from a Kmart store, north of an Admiral gas station, right store, and then directly to the south of a Disability Network office. We're back at the store, kind of near the bathroom, so if you want to come in and talk to us, feel free to come in.
Yes.
But, however, let's say you're just streaming, and you're not in the area, and you want to talk to us. Well, we have a number that you can call us on, and that number is 215-383-3810. Once again, that phone number is 215-383-3810. You call in. You press 1, and our screeners will get you into the program. We can talk sports. We can talk. We can talk about the Word. We can talk about Cedar Point. If you want, you can talk about why you think the grass is greener on the other side than on this side, or whatever. We have one exception. We are not going to talk about politics. This is not a political show. It's not. That is not what this program is. But if you want to talk about anything else, we can talk. And I want to hear from you. And with that in mind, it leads me to this. Listening. It is a very smart thing. An extremely smart thing, a very smart idea to listen to this program, Preacher and the Miracle Man. Smart thing to listen to this program with your smartphone or your iPad or your computer. It's a very smart idea to listen to this program on your smartphone. And what you can do is you can go to blogtalkradio.com You can search the Preacher and the Miracle Man. We're on a channel called Up for Entertainment. You subscribe to the show, Preacher and Miracle Man, and you'll get notified when we're going to have a show. And then you can click on and hang out with us. Whether you come and see us, whether you whether you call into the show, or whether you're just listening to us. In a way, we're still all hanging out together, whether you talk to us or not. So, we're so glad to have you with us. Now, a message from, and by the way, if you have a business and you want, if you really want, if you have a great business and you want, looking to increase your audience, if you're looking to increase the amount of business that you have, if you're looking for more clients, we want to hear from you. You can email either one of us, rivershukla@gmail.com, or you can email Preacherman. And what is that website again?
preacherman@gmail.com,
is it?
hgpreacherman@gmail.com
is the Preacherman's email. Or you can email me at rivershukla@gmail.com and just let us know. I want to sponsor the Preacher and Miracle Man. So, with that in mind, that leads us to a word from our We're Believing by Faith for sponsors, but a word from what I'm calling a company of interest.
Yeah.
See, folks, how many of you love the nice weather we've been having? How many of these last few days, how many of you know that folks, between Wednesday and Sunday, we're supposed to be in the mid to high 80s? Folks, how about this? Winter's going to come in a few months, so you're not going to be spending any time outside anymore. So how about celebrate one of these last warm weekends? Now, you can only do this weekends now that it's after Labor Day. But how about you go to Cedar Point? Cedar Point is a great place to be for anyone who loves thrills. Or if you love like great amusement park / carny food, maybe you just want somewhere to get on the road to maybe, and at the same time you get to go on some roller coasters. Well, if this is the case, Cedar Point's for you. And I myself was just this past weekend. It was a blast. I went on all the biggest and best roller coasters. Many of these are among the greatest in the world. We have Top Thrill Dragster, 120 miles an hour at 420 feet.
Come on, man.
And you have Millennium Force, 305 feet, 92 miles an hour. And then you have many more. For information and look at ticket prices, go to cedarpoint.com. Now, if you're looking for a little bit of a cheaper ticket and you don't want to pay the exact full price, you can go to your nearest beer store and get a ticket. You can get a regular daily ticket, or you can get a daily ride and refresh tickets, which this weekend I would highly recommend, because this weekend you're going to want to take quite a few drink breaks. So what Ride and Refresh is you can go to any concession stand inside that park, and you can get a 21-ounce cup of water or your favorite Coca-Cola beverage, such as Coke, Vanilla Coke. You can get a Dr. Pepper, Sam. Yes, you can get a Dr. Pepper. It'd be a 21-ounce if you get the Ride and Refresh. But yes, you can get that. And at the Coke Freestyle, you can get many more options. For information on this, go to cedarpoint.com. And now that we have done that commercial, we are now going to open the wonderful Word of God and talk about faith. And my pastor, our pastor, Mark T. Barclay, has really been hitting a home run in this series on faith. He talked about last night about faith and patience, the power twins.
The power twins of faith and patience.
Faith and patience. You got to have faith, you also got to have patience. I've been patiently waiting for the healing to be made manifest in my body. And you know what? I still think it's going to come. No, hang on. I really wish I could have that thing part out. I know it's going to come.
Very good.
I know for certain it's going to come. And when it happens, everybody who lives, anyone who's ever listened to the show, anyone who lives in the city, anyone who's seen me anywhere is going to hear about it. And they're going to be so amazed. Oh, yeah, he's the guy you couldn't see. Now we can. The ride operator will say, I had to direct him. Now he sees. You know, and there you go. That healing is going to be made manifest in my body. And it's just by faith. And not because the preacher and the miracle man, miracles are what the show about. And we're believing, and I'm believing for that. And so, with that in mind, we're going to start the reading, and we're going to start with Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we do not see yet. This is what the old timers were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is absolutely impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things that he did not yet see, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned and he became heir with righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him and the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. How far did you go that one time? Was it to 16?
Yeah, I think that's
what
we're going.
And that you had went to before, and I'm going to keep, so I'm going to go to that.
Yeah.
And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past even though he was past childbearing age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. I tell you what, I want to be living by faith when I die and go to heaven.
Amen.
I plan on whenever I die, or when the rapture happens. I plan to be living on faith by faith when the rapture happens. When they died, they did not receive the things. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were allies and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had come thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Man, now Pastor talked about faith and patience again on Sunday, and we have faith that God is going to make these things made manifest, whether it be money, healing, whatever you're looking for, clients. You also got to have patience, because stuff takes time. It doesn't always happen instantly. It's not going to be that way, like where stuff just happens instantly. You can all hope and pray, but instantly isn't always the way it works. With that in mind, we are going to go to Genesis, and we are going to read about some more about Lot and what happened with Sodom. Praise God. So, we are going to chapter 13. I believe it's 12. In 12, we had read about, the call of Abraham. We are going to chapter 13.
13.
And so, we're going to talk. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went to a place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place of Bethel. And Ai was still just as it had been earlier when they had first built the altar. Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving all with Abram, also had flocks and herds. Wait a minute. Living near the great trees. I think it's 14.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then, yep, now it's about him.
Yeah.
He left his lot. And at this time, Amraphel, king of Shear, Ariel, King of Elkasar, and Kirokemar, King of Elish, and Sedal, King of Goriam, went to war against Bera, King of Sodom. Bersha, King of Gomorrah, Menab, King of Amrah, Shimanda, King of Zeboim, and the King of Biela, that is, Zor. All of these latter kings joined forces in the valley of Sidim, the Salt Sea, for 12 years. They had been subject to Kedar-Shamar, but in the 13th year, they rebelled. They rebelled. In the 14th year, Kedar-Lamar and the kings, Ella aligned with him, went out and defeated. They defeated the Riphaites in Ish-Ashtaroth, Kershim, the Zemite in Ham, the Emites in Shevad, Kerphazethazim, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir, as far as Al Paran near the desert. Then they turned back and went to En Mishpat, that is Kedosh, and they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites, as well as Amorites who were living in Hazon, Batemar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adma, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bila, that is Zor. They marched out and they drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Kedar-Lamar, king of Tadal, king of Goim, Mephel, king of Shan, and Arioch of Elasar. Four kings against five. Now, the valley of Siddim was full of turn pits, and when the kings of Sodom and of Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled by the hills. And the four kings seized all of the goods of Sodom and of Gomorrah, and all of their food. Then they went away. Then they all carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. One who had escaped came, and he reported this to Abram, the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Anna, all of whom were allied with Abram. And when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive. He called out the 318 trained men born in his household, and he went in pursuit as far as Dan. And during the fight, Abraham divided his men to attack them and had offered them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recorded all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defending Kedosh Shalmar and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shavar, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God. Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed Abram, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." They, Abraham, gave him a tenth of everything. To the king of Sodom, said to Abram, "Give me the people that kept the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and of earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, and even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I make Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who slept with me by Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." Now, folks, what we talked about was, so basically these people were stealing. So they took Lot's possessions away from him. And they basically grabbed a hold of Lot and they said, "You're ours now. You're not with Abraham anymore." And then Abraham went and rescued Lot. So let me tell you, these people of Sodom and these people of Gomorrah, bad, 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 rough people. They're very wicked in God's sight.
Yeah, very much so.
In fact, the city of Sodom was destroyed because there weren't even 10 righteous people. Luckily, in this country, we got, in pretty much every city, we have at the very least 10 people that are righteous.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Midland, Flint, Detroit, Saginaw, Bay City, NYC, Philadelphia, everywhere. All of these have at the very least 10 people who are totally righteous. In fact, most of these have at least a couple of thousand. Oh, and in NYC, you got many thousands, I can guarantee you, that are righteous and right with God. Not in the case of Sodom. Only Lot and his family. That was all. That were righteous. That was all. So, folks, we're in the last days.
Yeah.
The Bible said that these days would be like that of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yep.
We are in the last days. The signs are very clear. North Korea gets closer and closer and closer and closer all the time.
Stupidity.
To having that nuclear arsenal that make them able to hit America. By the way, when you get a hurricane, won't exactly destroy every little thing in its path. Some houses will be destroyed. Other houses will just have some damage. Others, if they're built on stilts or whatever, or they just got lucky, no damage. Oh, by the way, with hurricane stuff, with nuclear stuff, everything in its path gets destroyed. If a nuclear bomb is able to hit San Francisco, the whole city, you can basically say goodbye to. Everyone's going to die. Who's going to survive that? Nobody. And folks, we are so close. One wrong mistake by Trump or by Korea. This thing is, and we could be headed straight to Armageddon.
Yep.
And which means the rapture. And what was that thing you were going to say about the hurricane? About that front, that house.
I jumped right into something else.
You had something you were gonna say.
I did, but it's okay. It'll come back.
I hope it does.
I'll tap in, man.
Because I'm on this right now, and folks, you gotta really think about yourselves and look at it yourself and say, how am I living? Am I right with God? Do I have my spiritual house in order? If the rapture happens tonight, is my family all going to make heaven? Are they? Because Lot had some family members who didn't make it. Yep, there were family members that didn't make it.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, Rivers. It wasn't about the hurricane. It was about Lot's wife.
Go ahead and say that.
You think about that. Somehow, whether it was her own righteousness or Lot's righteousness, somehow she got taken out. So there's something in there that got her out of the city. And she escaped the immediate destruction in Sodom. But she looked back. And she must have looked back with a longing heart, because she turned to a pillar of salt and needed it.
Sister Saul.
And you gotta not look back. When God sets you free, move and keep moving. And no matter how many times you gotta get up and move again, what's the prophet? The prophet said a righteous man will fall seven times.
True.
And then the other prophet said, but don't gloat over me, my enemy, because if I fall, I will arise. I will arise. And important thing is, in this day that we live, keep your eye focused on Jesus. Hey, think of what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing toward those things which are before. There's energy right there. You're burning calories doing that. Keep your eye on the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and walking with God every day. We won't be Sister Lot's wife. Did she have a name?
Sister Saul.
That's awesome. So that's what I was going to say. If you get delivered, don't look back. keep moving.
You can't look. These days, she was looking back at the city. This would be like us looking back at our sickness, our disease, our sin. Our sin. We look back at our sin. You decide, okay, I got free from smoking. Now, I'm going to look back. I'm going to go back to and smoke those cigarettes again. It can't be that bad. No, stop it right now. Stop it right now. You don't look back. You got to be focused on God. Can't be focused on those cigarettes, that alcohol, that despair, that hatred, that bickering, that quarreling, that bad confession, whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's all of the above everything you said. It could be any of that.
You can't look back at that stuff. Otherwise, there's a good chance you're not going to make it when the rapture happens. If it's all these sins and you're not repenting for them, there's a good chance you might not make the rapture. A very good chance. Then you're going to have, if you miss the rapture, you're going to have to make a quick choice. And you better have the courage to be very careful when you make this choice. Am I going to confess my Lord and Savior?
Amen.
And they're going to shoot. Am I going to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior right now, face the bullet, and go to heaven? Or am I going to deny Christ and then end up in hell forever and ever and ever and ever, where the worm does not die and the fire does not go out? But the choice you're going to have to make if you miss the rapture, many people will miss the rapture and will have to take that second chance. Hopefully none of us need that second chance, and we'll be ready to go.
Amen. I'm not going to just barely make it. I'm going to make it all the way. That second chance thing, that's scary.
Because the problem is with that second chance, you'll be thinking, oh, no, I got this to do. I got that to do. Cedar Points tomorrow. I really want to go riding. Oh, by the way, during the rapture. But by the way, during the tribulation, I think Cedar Point can be forgotten about, right?
Yeah, because you won't be looking for anything that's fun. Then you'll be getting real serious about God.
And you don't think that there'll be a Cedar Point will still be around there during the tribulation?
Well, there probably will, because those in utter darkness it's gonna get worse for them, it'll get better for them because we're all gone.
But probably what's gonna happen is all the rides are gonna break down when they go on the rides.
Well, there you go.
They're probably all going to just break down that same day when they all get there. They're all going to break down.
Who knows?
Who knows? They might. Who knows? It's not going to see the point. It could be anything. Oh, yeah, I got that job interview tomorrow. Whatever. If that's the case, just go in the rapture. You're going to have a lot better in heaven. I mean, in heaven, it's going to be a lot more. You're going to be with God. You get to sit up there. You get to be near the Most High God. Probably going to have more fun than what you ever dreamed of having on earth. If you're thinking that stupid Cedar Point is your excuse for why you're not going to go on the rapture. Now, folks, in order to even make the rapture, you have to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior in the first place.
Yeah.
If you do not take the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you will not make heaven. None of this faith stuff that I talk about will work for you. You're going to go to hell. You're not going to get this. You're not even going to get the second chance we talk about if you are a Christian and you do miss the rapture for whatever dumb reason you missed it. If you don't give Jesus, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've got a chance to make it right.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right now.
Call us.
Amen.
Call.
Yeah, we'll help
them. Well, call us. We'll help you. If you're just sitting there and you're like, do I know him? Don't I? If you're pondering that maybe you don't know him, then it's time to, if you do know him and you forgot, then that's rededicating. Because then what you're doing is you're making yourself sure that you know him and making yourself sure that if I die, that if you die tonight, you're going to go to heaven to be with the King. So, and it is so important. The Bible tells us that we call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Be saved. And what point in the world history is it more important to do that than right now, today? What other time?
There is no better time.
That we haven't had a better time. We haven't had one. North Korea hasn't been this close to the launch. We haven't had this many hurricanes, Category 4 plus, hitting this country ever. The weather is off to right now. We're about to have 4 to 5 possibly record-breaking daytime highs for this time of September. We're going to be in the upper 80s. And 5 days of that in a row at this time of year is unheard of. That is supposed to be more like July and August.
Yeah.
And then a June. Look when we have that flooding. It was in late June. That if we would have even had like that, it should have been either in September or in, you know, March, April, May, 1st of May, not in late June. Goes to show you, folks, we are in the last days. We had crazy weather before, but we got a lot more going on this crazy weather. You have North Korea. It's not pretty. Look at all these protests you have in the streets of America right now. In St. Louis right now, they're protesting over a black person who got killed by the police. Folks, I curse this whole racism thing. I call it broken in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And I claim that us in America have respect for cops again.
Amen.
We've got to get this fixed.
Amen.
I don't care if you're mad because you got a speeding ticket. I don't care. We've got to do better as a country at getting back to respecting police.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had to work at this myself a little bit now, but nothing like some other people, because I always say, you know, I really don't get pulled over. And I had one thing that I would do, like one time, like I had said, like I'd show the sign of disapproval if we actually got pulled over, like near Flint. Not luckily we did get pulled over, but I didn't show the sign. But even thinking of doing that, we should have more respect than that. We shouldn't even think of it, rather than just not do it. You know?
Yeah.
Because usually, I'm very respectful. And now, I think I respect them more than I ever have before.
Yeah.
And as a country, we've got to get back to having respect for police, for law enforcement, for firemen, for first responders, because these policemen, they're in battle every day. Someone wants to shoot them. In this city, I can guarantee you, there's been some people who have thought about shooting the police officer and then for a reason, they don't have the gun or whatever, they decided not to. you got to respect your officers. You might not want that ticket. You might not want that DUI.
Right.
You might not want your, hey, and folks, oh, by the way, getting pulled over and you're on the highway and you were speeding, sick of getting all mad. How about believing God for favor?
Yeah, that's right.
This doesn't mean you won't get the ticket. Sometimes you need that ticket as a good swift kick in the rear. And if you need a quick spear in the rear, maybe pray you do get the ticket if you think you need that much of a kick. Because sometimes you might need that to help you. You know, maybe if it's that your headlights aren't working, maybe it's that you're speeding, maybe it's whatever, you know. You just need that ticket as that kick in the rear to get you back on the right side of the law. Now, folks, that to say, Jesus loves us all so much, and he really wants the best for us.
He does. Amen.
He really does. And you can get it right with him by giving it to God, or if you think you're right with God, but you're not sure, you feel like you might have sinned or something, you feel like you're not at the right place with God, you can rededicate your life to be sure that you will for sure make heaven.
Amen.
When that time comes. I knew God wanted me to say that, and I'm so glad that I listened to him. Now, folks, we are now, before we move into the next section of tonight's program, I am doing another commercial.
All right,
folks.
So.
The nice cold taste of a refreshing Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper or Sprite, Diet Coke, or the new Fanta orange drink from McDonald's. All available for $1 plus tax, any size you want, from that 16-ounce, the 20-ounce, and that 32-ounce. And any of these sizes available for only $1 for a limited time. You can put in any drink you want. You can get an iced tea. Folks, now you can do mobile ordering at McDonald's.
Is that right? How does it work?
The way it works is, you can click, go to McDonald's app. You can order your stuff that you want. Like, say you want a medium, you say I want a Spicy Nugget and I want a large fry and a medium Coke no ice. I can just type in that thing on my phone using the mobile app thing and click on the stuff. And then I can pay through my phone, or I can go through the drive-thru and pay the old-fashioned way, you know, cash or credit card. It's your choice. The cool thing about this is that you get your choice. And while you do your mobile ordering thing, if you decide you're going to use the mobile ordering, pick up a large fry, or any size fry for that matter, and or a nice, sweet Coca-Cola or Dr. Pepper of your choice. And enjoy a sweet end-of-summer snack from one of the greatest chains in the world, McDonald's. Now, I'm going to talk about something that usually doesn't get talked about too much on this program, and that is Cedar Point and me this year. I remember now, I mentioned Cedar Point a few different times tonight. I did it when I was reading the Bible. I did it while I was exhorting. Okay, I didn't do it when I was reading aloud, but I did it when I was exhorting on what I read, and I did it earlier when I did my first commercial business. Let me tell you this. Saturday, I went to Cedar Point, greatest amusement park in the world, in my opinion. Now, Amusement Today says it's the second busiest, best park and amusement park in the world. I'm guessing it's probably behind something in like Dubai or something. I would have guessed.
You know what Dubai has, don't you?
What?
They have an indoor ski resort in the desert with snow and everything.
Woo! I think it's in the mall too, isn't it?
I wonder how much that costs.
Nevertheless, I am getting back to the program.
Cedar Point.
To Cedar Point. And so I go there. The first thing I do when I get there is
drag strip.
I did not go on the drag strip first. I went on the map. Val Raven first, the newest roller coaster they have. It's called the Val Raven. I actually won it twice. So you're on this thing, you get on this Val Raven, you're strapped in, and then you start going up about average speed, I would say. And then you get up top, you stop for 4 seconds, and then you do a very fast drop at like 65 miles per hour, 68 miles per hour. You go down 170 some feet.
Wow.
Then you come back up, then you stop for another second, then you go back down, then you go up, down, then you do some loops. It's almost a 3-minute ride. It's one of my favorite rides there. Then after that, another big highlight was Millennium.
So wait, what did you call that thing?
It is called Val Raven is the name of that ride.
Val Raven.
Val Raven, V-A-L-R-A-V-N. Ah. Available at Cedar Point.
How long has it been there?
It has only been there since last year, 2016. And next year they're opening a new ride that I will touch on at the end of the segment. Because right now I'm talking about what I wrote on. Next, we went to the next really big ride we went on. We went on a smaller roller coaster between that and that. But we went to Millennium Force. Millennium Force is this huge Jaeger coaster, 305 feet and 93 miles per hour. Massive. I even had my sunglasses on and didn't lose it. That was the one roller coaster that I went on where I forgot to take off my sunglasses, but I didn't lose them on it.
That's awesome.
And so I go on the Millennium Force, and it is crazy. I think that's my second favorite ride there.
Yeah. Mine too, because it's so smooth.
So smooth, yes it is. Then. It's dragster time.
Dragster.
You go to the top of the dragster. You got 420 feet at 120 miles per hour. It's over in 17 seconds, but hey, it's part of the greatness of that ride. You're going up so fast. You're going down so fast. I lost a hearing aid off that ride one time. But not this year, but back in 2010. You can't put your hands up like this, like you do on the other roller coasters. You can't do that ride because you might lose a finger. I actually heard that the first time I went on, where that happened to somebody.
Did I tell you my experience on that ride?
Let's do that right now while we're on this.
I was there one time with some of my family, and the line was probably 2 hours long. And so we're like, oh, we're going to have to wait a long time. And the ride come out of the house of its place one time, and it didn't make it all the way up the hill, and it came back down. And so they had to start it over again. And when that happened, half the people left the line, scared the fire out of them. And I'm like, well, there you go, 45 minutes.
Miss you like, hallelujah! Because you knew that the line had went way down.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And you knew you could, and you knew that you could move up a long ways.
A long way.
And you knew that you that your 17 seconds of fun and freedom was closer.
That much closer.
Huh? What?
That much closer.
Was that much closer to that 17 seconds of fun and freedom? That this could be the greatest 17 seconds of your life.
So what's next?
And after that, I go to the Magnum, which is when that thing first came out, it was the biggest, it was the tallest and fastest roller coaster ever.
Yeah.
It was 73 miles an hour, 205 feet, opened in 1989. That one was actually less bumpy than when I rode it last year. But that Magnum XL 200, nowadays the line at it isn't too bad. A lot of times you can get on it within 20 minutes.
Wow.
It's really fun. It's another one of my favorites. It's LA in the top five. And you know, it's fun. And then next we go to the Maverick. And Maverick is it's very wild. It's very scary. But I love it. You go way up and down kind of fast, and then you kind of slow down a bit in the tunnel, and then you speed up again when you're coming out of that tunnel. Like it's halfway done, it's like it teases you.
Awesome.
And that's part of why I love that ride, and it's a little rackety, and I opened in 07, and it has that 90-degree bank turn. I tell you, heaven. I can already hear Maverick calling my name, saying, "Rivers, come back!" I tell you, and if I lived in Sandusky, guess where I'd be if I knew the workers. I'd wanna be there. They're hanging with them, testing and figuring out what the latest new ride's gonna be. What are they gonna introduce next year for 2019? Who knows?
They probably need to have you at one of those rides making the announcement. Please keep your hands and feet inside and ride at all times. And enjoy your day at Cedar Point.
Please keep your hand and feet inside the car at all times. And enjoy your day here at Cedar Point. Of course, I'd like to be able to say it from inside my seat while I'm going up and down. And twisted, turn. Heaven. Dear Jesus, please put all of these big roller coasters like Maverick and that in heaven. And then we got Raptor. What I love about Raptor is this. You lose the floor.
Yeah.
You lose the floor. Your feet get to dangle.
Yeah.
Freely.
I like that.
For 2 minutes.
I like that.
And that might not be the biggest drop or the biggest rise or the fastest speed in that park. It still is one of the very fun ones. It really is. And if you get a chance to go on that ride, do it. Then you have the Gatekeeper, which, again, not the fastest, not the steepest roller coaster in the park by any stretch of the imagination, but you are right over the gate at Cedar Point. And the Gatekeeper makes what they're calling a front gate statement, that you're actually in the roller coaster capital of the world. And that's key. That's a good mark. That Gatekeeper is essentially a marketing tool. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right. The Gatekeeper is a marketing tool. And they use that as a way to basically show, you're in the roller coaster capital of the world. And you get on that ride and it's awesome. Now there's one I didn't ride. I meant to, but somehow I forgot about it. It's called Wicked Twister. And you're going really fast, like 73 miles per hour, 100 and some feet. Now it's about a minute, but when you first get going, you're going really fast right off the get-go. And I wish I had wrote it, but I forgot. Next time I go, that's going to be my first go-to ride, I think. That or possibly the new ride that is starting next year.
Did you ride the Corkscrew?
Corkscrew, in my mind,
is a kid's ride.
I wouldn't say it's a kid's ride, but I just decided to skip at this trip.
I'll tell you what, I remember when the lines were 2 hours on the Corkscrew.
No, they're really short.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
What they're having is they're putting out a new one called Steel Vengeance. It's going to be about a 70-mile-an-hour ride, 205 feet. I'm looking forward to this one because this is the first 200-plus-foot ride since the Top Thrill Dragster.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to this. It opens next year. It's going to be a mixture of wood and steel.
Oh, that's it.
It's going to be what they call a hybrid coaster.
You're going to
have lots of airtime on it. Your feet are going to be dangling, I believe, on this one. And so I'm really looking forward to it. In my mind, June cannot come fast enough.
We need to make a roller coaster that launches the car through the air and then lands on the track.
Oh, how would that work?
I have no idea.
Like our car or like the coaster car?
The coaster car.
How would that work?
I don't know. It would be fun to try to make it, wouldn't it?
Would that be even more thrilling than any of these dragsters and stuff?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Because of the danger factor.
Or how about this? You lay on your back on the ride.
Oh, man.
Would that be even more scary?
That would be scary. Seeing nothing but sky?
Or the ground.
Or the ground.
I meant to go on the certain ride like that at Kings Island and didn't because the one time I ever went there in 2013 because we got there at like 10:30 and we had to leave by 4. So we went on the water rides and some other things. But before we knew it was time to go.
Yeah.
So I'm meaning to go back there. Maybe next year, maybe next summer I will. Because I really want to ride that Firehawk.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I don't know if I want to ride that as bad as I want to ride Steel Vengeance, but I think it's pretty close. Because the biggest disappointment of that day at Kings Island was not getting to ride Firehawk, because I wanted to be able to, you know, have that feeling of laying on your back while you're on the roller coaster.
Oh, jeez.
It's called my acronym. I heard this today on the One Back program. It is FEAR. But you know what it stands for? Face everything. And Glenn Beck says that it's supposed to mean rise. But in my mind, it would be face everything and ride. Face everything and ride. Face that laying on your back. Face that face in the ground. Or that looking right up at the sky. You know, I'm guessing if you're laying on your back like that, I'm guessing there's nothing under your feet at all.
So it's probably
Airtime City. And when I saw that again, and I'm like, Lord, send me to Kings Island.
Wait, what was that statement you just made? It was a good one. Oh, fear. I got it. Go ahead.
Fear. So when you're dealing with fear, there's no way you're someone saying something about fear. I'm going to say, oh, are you talking about face everything and ride? You go to see the point? I tell you if I went to a sissy's church and I heard that statement, I'd be the first to say, let's go.
How far away is he? He's only like an hour and a half, isn't he?
I thought he was only like an hour.
Maybe he is only.
And in that case, I would say, let's go. He'd say, where are we going? I'd be like, we're going on a little ride somewhere. I'm just gonna talk to you and teach you some things. And then I would be like, wait a minute, why are we here? And then I'd be like, well, yeah, that fear thing. And I said, it means, and I'd ask him, like, what do you like? And I'd ask him, what one do you want to ride on, but you're afraid? That's what I'd ask the person, you know? Like, is there one you want to ride on, but you're afraid? It's kind of like, it's not just with that, but it's like with life. What do you want to do, but you're afraid to do it for some reason?
Come on, man. Talk about that.
What do you want to do, but you're afraid to do it? Because you're afraid someone's going to say something. Well, you don't want to give your life to Christ because you're afraid someone's going to find out. You've got to get this fear thing broken.
Yeah.
It's face everything and rise. You got to rise over your fear.
Well, I think fear comes under the heading of Jesus. God has put everything under Jesus' feet. So fear is part of what he put under his feet. And since we're his body, then it's got to be underneath us. So why let fear overcome you?
You got to overcome the fear.
Fear is when you're going to college?
Not necessarily. Obviously, I had a nervous day there and there, but I wouldn't say there was any specific fears.
That's awesome. A nervous day. I like how you said that, because there is a difference between a fear and a nervous day.
Because we all have nervous days. If you're in college like that, you're going to have a few nervous tests. You're going to.
Even me?
If you're going to college, you're going to have some nervous. You're going to have some nervous test days.
I got nervous you saying I'm going to college.
You're going to have some nervous test days. You're going to. It's how it is. So, with that in mind, yeah, really, it really was a lot of fun. And for that, I basically say, next June cometh. CP, I'm coming back.
All right.
I'm coming back, and not done. Now, with that in mind, we go to, it is time for sports. And with that, I'll talk about the Tigers very briefly. They did score. They did win yesterday over. They did win yesterday. They ended up winning 12-0. Matt Boyd actually had a very, very, very good game. He was one out away from a no-hitter. Out away from a no-hitter. And then he gave up a hit. He gives up one hit. But it was awesome that he was able to get that no-hitter. Just the one hitter. Especially the guy that's been struggling quite a bit at times. He'll only give up a few runs one time. Next time he'll give up like six runs plus. And I'm really proud of him for only giving up one hit. That was so proud of the guy. He really did a good job.
Is that home or away?
This was at home.
Oh, that's awesome.
This was at home, and they did that, and they had a huge crowd.
I think there was a bunch of guys from my work that was there that day.
Oh, yesterday? Oh, really?
Yeah. They were talking about it.
No, the Tigers are going to be at home on their final homestand of the season.
When's that?
It starts tonight at 7:10. It'll start, and then they're going to play Oakland Athletics. Hopefully they're going to win. Hopefully they'll win some of these games to at least make a statement to show, maybe out of it, but we're not going to be the worst team.
That's right, man.
And then hopefully they'll get some new good starters next year to replace Verlander. Hopefully they'll get a really good one that they can trust to be their ace, or Fulmer. We can get when, and now that he's had surgery, hopefully he'll come back and he'll be healthy and he'll be ready to be that quality ace. And we can get some really good pitchers that are better than like Zimmer or Sanchez. We can get some really good pitchers that can really do us right so that we can get back to, let's set a goal for next year of at least being over 500.
Come on.
At least being over 500. Playoffs, I'm going to say 2019. Probably 2019 playoffs, because I want us to be good again. I want us to have the Tigers be great again. Like make the Tigers great again. Like they were when we saw Verlander.
Sure.
When we had Fisker, when we had Porcello.
Had Kirk Gibson.
Gibson was a long time ago.
I'm chucking you.
I'm talking about in my lifetime. I'm talking about in my era of the Tigers being good.
So, hey, who's going to be in the playoffs?
For one thing, the Cleveland Indians. I said Indians because they had won 22 games in a row before they finally lost.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Unfortunately, they lost the day before I went to see the play, because otherwise I'm sure I would have heard a lot of Indians talk, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because I always like it when I'm at that point. Everybody's riled up, you know. But I was going to say, yeah, the Indians are going to make it. They won the division. I think you're going to see Boston make it. Houston is certainly going in. And then you got the Dodgers in. Cubs, who knows? I think Cubs are going to make it, I think. And then some other teams are to be determined. No.
How long of a playoff is that? How's that work?
You got one card and then you end up with only eight teams in the playoffs.
Eight teams?
Cool.
And they play seven games?
First, it's a best of five, so whoever wins three is done. Then it's a best of seven for ALCS, and then NLCS. And then after that, it's a best of seven for the World Series.
For the World Series. All right. Go ahead. You can talk about the rest of them.
No. We are now moving to football. Da, 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 da. First, we start off with the Lions.
All right.
The Lions tonight at 8:30. Lions at the Giants in New York. I made a prediction that I need to stick to. I made a prediction last show that the Lions would lose 28-22. I'm sticking to it. They're probably going to lose. The Giants are going to be fired up after they lost to Dallas last week, as bad as they did. They're going to be fired up and ready to go. So with that in mind, 28-22, Giants. I think the Lions are going to have a good game. I think at some point they might possibly lead, but I think they don't manage to finish it off. 28-22, Giants. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we actually win this ball game. And then Sunday, you're going to have Lions and Falcons. And I am going to issue that prediction next time we do a show. But if you're the Lions, we're going to have to play great, great, great football if we want a chance to beat Atlanta. We're gonna have to be at our best we've ever been. We're gonna have to be ready. We're gonna have to fight hard. Our defense is gonna have to be on its toes. Our offense is gonna have to be ready when they got the ball, ready to go, because otherwise it could get ugly kind of quick. Now in the NFL, I hope it doesn't get to where it's like 35-7 or 28-7 Atlanta, and then suddenly we come back and make it a more manageable, you know, 28-17, 28-19, and still lose. Hopefully, even if we do lose, we're in it and we're like down by 10 or less all game long. The closer we can be, the better. Hopefully, I'll be able to say we won.
Yes.
But, as I'm not giving a prediction, I'm just going by what I saw. Because last night, the Pack, who's supposed to be the best team in the division in the NFC North, they lost to Atlanta 34-23.
Wow.
At one point, it was 31-7.
Wow.
You heard that right. 31-7 Pack, Falcons over the Packers, that's the reason why I had to give that thing and voice my concerns, you know, that if the Lions aren't totally ready to go, that if the Falcons are just going to be firing all cylinders, that they got to be ready to go. They got to be ready to go. Detroit's got to be ready to go, because otherwise it could be bad. I see Atlanta doing some great things again this year in their new house. And me being the big Atlanta fan that I am, and hoping to go see it kind of soon, like
they got a new dome too, did they?
Atlanta did, yes. Yes, they did.
Where's that?
In Atlanta, it is called Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is right near the old Georgia Dome.
Really?
It's right near downtown, kind of near World of Coca-Cola.
Kind of near what?
World of Coca-Cola.
Where they make Dr. Pepper?
you have the Lions tonight at 8:30. Then you had college football on Saturday. You had Michigan. They beat Air Force. It was not as lopsided as I would have liked it to be.
Really?
It was only 27-13.
Wow.
It was only 27-13. One would think it'd be a bigger blowout than that, right?
Yeah.
Folks, let me be as clear as I can be. If Michigan cannot improve and work on giving up some less points and scoring some more points, if they cannot be more efficient, they're going to lose at least, very least, two times in the Big Ten season, which starts next week. They're going to lose at least twice, which means they would probably not make the Big Ten championship game.
Uh-oh.
Instead, that would probably which means it would probably be Ohio State. I'm guessing.
Be careful.
Instead of Penn State.
Penn State. I like Penn State. Nothing, anything but Ohio State.
Well, so that. Don't get mad at me now. I'm about to say something.
Go for it.
That is very blunt, but very true. I am actually a Buckeye fan.
What?
I actually like Ohio State.
Lord have mercy.
If I love the state of Ohio, like I do, and certain things about it, and love that they have certain restaurants that us in Michigan don't have, and they have all these roller coasters and all these other things that make Ohio so great and all that, I am a Buckeye fan.
Oh, my.
Which means that I am kind of not afraid. Now, with this Ohio State-Michigan stuff, I tend to not be biased, but instead pick who I really think will win.
Yeah.
And this year, it is a prediction that I will make at a later date. I am in no position to make that. We got to play more games. Michigan, Ohio State has to play more games. Right now, I don't know. That could go either way. But I could easily predict what will happen if Michigan does not fix their stuff today. And it may not be pretty. It might not be pretty if Michigan cannot fix Ohio. Because Ohio State already had one loss, 31-16, last Saturday. And I can guarantee you this. They don't want to let that happen again.
Yeah.
So Ohio State is in a state of urgency, you know?
Yeah.
They're older than what they were last year. Michigan's one of the youngest teams in the country. So Ohio State wants to do whatever they can to get back in that playoff hunt and to win the Big Ten East. They want to do everything they can do. This idea that Ohio State's irrelevant or whatever, they're not going away. Not right now. Hopefully next year I can come and say Michigan's just ready to go. We're going to beat the Buckeyes. Right now, it's a wait and see. But you have Michigan at Purdue on Saturday. At 12.
Oh yeah, we should be able to beat Purdue, can't we?
Yes, we should. But they're starting to be on a little bit of an upswing. But hopefully we can get some nice wins against teams like Wisconsin and Penn State. Northwestern is going to be a big surprise this year, but I kind of knew they were going to be good because I'd heard some things. Minnesota, you got to be able to beat. If you can't beat Northwestern and Minnesota and Iowa.
Yeah, how are you going to get the playoffs?
Are you going to make the playoffs? And then how are you going to beat the Buckeyes? Because the Buckeyes are always your biggest test of the year, it seems like, if you're Michigan.
Yep.
Forget
the rivalry. That's just bare facts right there.
Unfortunately, of the last, dating back to 2003, since 2003, they were tested 13 times and failed 12.
Hey, don't say that too loud.
They failed 12 times. Some of which they were close. Other times, they were manhandled.
They would beat the snot out of them, didn't they?
Some of those times, we were close like earlier in the game, and then they just ran away with it. Like that overtime,
yeah.
With the exception of that one touchdown play last game, the whole overtime went the Buckeye way. And it was in the horseshoe, which made matters worse for Michigan.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But then you had Michigan State, who was on a bye week. And again, I give them great props for going down to Houston and helping out with Harvey.
Yep.
And that was a great thing. And I don't know what Houston, where they are next, but they're going to start up again. And hopefully they're going to keep doing what they've been doing. And one of these games, this is another reason why Michigan needs to step up, because Michigan State is trying to surprise some people, you know, and they're doing pretty good. They're looking a bit better than what they were last year, I think. So then you have high school football from the weekend, and they want something like this. In Midland Stadium, you had Midland Dow versus Bay City John Glenn, the newcomer to the Saginaw Valley League Blue. John Glenn, I thought it would be a very close game. I thought John Glenn would be right in it. I thought they would give Dow a run for their money. They didn't. 51-21 Dow. Ever since I had made comments about Dow kind of playing on the edge, they've really cleaned themselves up, and as a Midland fan, are starting to make me a little nervous.
When do you guys play them?
We play them week 9 of the regular season. We got some tough games between now and then where Dow, let me see, Dow has to face Bay City Western still. Flint Common Ainsworth, which is one they might lose that. They got to play Flint Powers. And then they have to play, Common Ainsworth. I said that. And then Saginaw Arthur Hill. I think they should win 3 of those. They lose to Flint Common Ainsworth, they become a 6-2 game going to Midland that week. I said Midland would probably lose 2 more times. Then what's going to happen is you're going to have a Midland 5-3 versus at a Dow 6-2, still at Midland Community Stadium because Dow and Midland share a stadium. And what's going to happen in the Lindau game, I don't know right now. I don't know. But I will say this. Midland played Mount Pleasant. Dow played Mount Pleasant. Midland I'm gonna get to that game after I finish Dow. But Midland did beat Mount Pleasant more handily than what Dow did.
Yeah.
I will say that right now.
They both won though.
They did both win. And so for Dow, they scored early and often in that 51-21 game. And they're a young team, but they're a good team. They still have quite a few good seniors left on this year's team. But after this year, who knows? It all depends how well these young kids that they got are doing. I'm meant to be there, but some things happened, so I didn't get to go. Then in Mount Pleasant, you had Midland. Four to 13, Midland over Mount Pleasant. Martin Money had a career night, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was just outstanding. That senior running back was great. And I'm hoping that he can surprise some people so that we can win one of these two games that I feel like we're going to lose. And speaking of the losing thing, I think both of these games we're going to lose are unfortunately at home. We got to play Davidson and we got to play Lapeer. Both of these schools are schools that have very big football players. I'm going to say this as good as I know how to. I think Davidson needs to be in the division, maybe with Midland, and then Lapeer going to Dow's division, because Midland's never played, Dow has never played Lapeer yet. And I think they can be a good challenge for Dow. What this can do for Midland is that can help us out so that we can have better chances to do what we want to do and win football games, win enough football games so we can go into the playoffs and get back to hosting Friday night home playoff games, which we can do.
Yeah.
If we can somehow win all the rest of these games or only lose one, but it won't be easy. I think if we can beat just Davidson or just Lapeer and stay clean the rest of the season and get good ones the rest of the way, I think I would have a great amount of optimism that we'd have a home game. I really do. And that brings me to what's next for Midland. What does Midland do? What does Midland have Friday? Friday, Midland goes to Bay City Central to face the Wolves. Like I said, in Bay City at their high school. I am going to be at that game. I'm going to that game.
Major decision.
Bay City Central is a great place to watch a game. It can be a tough place to walk, to coach, a tough place to officiate because of some angles. But if you're in a front row at Bay City Central, you know what's right below you there? The field. You don't have a track right below you like you do at Midland and some other places. The field is right below you. There's nothing like it at the high school stadium level that I can think of. In fact, their football stadium announcer is part of what got me really interested in doing broadcasting.
Is that right? That's awesome.
Because he's real loud and energetic. He knows his stuff. Bay City has some very loud and supportive football fans, and I'm really proud of. And honestly, if they weren't playing Midland, and Midland was on the road somewhere else, I'd really be tempted to go to Bay City Central and watch a game and like get to sit on their side, because I really want to meet this guy. I'd really love to meet this guy sometime.
That announcer
really got me, you know, because then I can thank him, you know, for making me excited. Because what made me so excited was when I was there.
What's his name?
I forget his name, but he was so amazing. I really, I really like the, what got me excited, even it was a game we lost, but I loved his enthusiasm when Bay City Central had scored, be like, number 44, Dick Ross Brothers, into the end zone, stop, Bay City Central. And he holds out the bay like that, and I just, and even though it was them scoring and not us, I loved that enthusiasm on the other side, and him yelling Bay City Central like that, you know, with that kind of fervor in that, you know, the band's playing. And I said, and I had said to myself, someday that'll be me in the Midland press box, calling out Midland games. Boy, would I love it if Midland and Dow were all one, and it was Midland Stadium, and I don't have to feel worried about scaring the Dow people off, because it said, touchdown, Kemmerick! You know, because, which I just might do if I was doing that during the Midland-Dow game, and Midland's the home side, you know? Because I don't want to just have to do that. Midland coming touchdown and scored on a 48-yard pass from, you know? Not me. I've heard that enough at my games. I've heard that enough. It's time for a new direction with the announcer of that press box. And that includes my voice, I think.
Come
on. Because, honestly, the way it's been. Well, so, you got Midland at Bay City Central. You have Dow home with Flint Powers, who got blown out by Commingsworth. And Powers has played Dow kind of tough, too, the past 3 years. So, we'll see what Friday does. Friday night does. Like I said, Dow Ainsworth, I will not be there because I'm going to be in Bay City instead with Midland and Central. Then after that, Midland has its homecoming, which I will absolutely be at, and that'll be Midland versus Davidson. That is one of the games that I am nervous about. I feel like we're going to lose because Davidson has not had one loss yet. They have not logged a single loss yet, and they have won in three of their four games. They won by overwhelming fashion. The only one that they barely won and almost lost was to Southfield, who wasn't doing that great this year. But they had a good shot of losing to Southfield, and they didn't lose. So that means for us, we're on our toes. First hoping we can try to beat Bay City Central, which I think we can, based on what money's doing. It's going to be money versus Weathers, the two great senior quarterbacks.
Yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
senior running backs. I'd love to. I'm going to be curious to see who gets more yards. Is it the money or is it the weather?
The weather usually gets more yards.
Why?
Because it's got a little more power than money. Maybe not. Money has a lot of power.
Oh, I hope in this game he does because I don't feel like having the second loss yet. Because with every loss, our chance of a home game seems a little bit less unlikely. And I'm starving for a home game. I'm a playoff home game. We haven't had one since 2013. And so I really hope we can get one. So
I think it's about time to wrap it up, man.
With that in mind, folks, thanks everybody for coming on and listening to us. We had a lot of great fun. We had a lot of great talking. We had a lot of great sports stuff. We just had some really good stuff. And with that in mind, until next time, good night, everybody. And remember, God first. And God always.
God always.
Good night, everybody.